بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على نبينا الأمين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. إن شاء الله تعالى إخواني، we are pleased and honored to have our Sheikh Abu Usama Salim Ibn Eid Al-Hilali حفظه الله تعالى here in our presence إن شاء الله to expound upon one of the tremendous ayat of the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ, and because of the mercy of Allah, you were pleased with them, or you were easy with them. He's going to explain, inshaAllah, some of the lessons that we learn from this ayat, and how it connects and relates to the issues that we're dealing with in our lives, and the issues that we're dealing with today. So without any further ado, bi-idhnillah, we present to you the Shaykh Abu Usama, asking Allah Ta'ala to put him in the mizan of all of our hasanat, insha'Allah. Falyatafaddal.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh, wa na'udhu billahi min sharuri anfusina, wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihi Allahu fala mudilla lah, ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أحسن الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، فيقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم التنزيل مخاطبا رسوله الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم، فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب لانفضوا من حولك، فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر، فإذا عزمت فتوكل على الله، إن الله يحب المتوكلين. هذه آية من سورة آل عمران. أحببت أن أذكر إخواني ونفسي بما تدل عليه من فوائد ودروس وعبر، لعل الله سبحانه وتعالى يجعلنا من أهلها، ويجعلنا من حملتها، والداعين إليها الحريصين عليها، ليكتب الله لدعوتنا النجاح والفوز، إنه ولي ذلك والقادر عليه.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The Shaykh, he began, Ikhwan, by rehearsing or mentioning خطبة الحاجة, and then after that he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Qur'an, when he said in the book that he has revealed to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and as a mercy from Allah, you were easy towards them. And had you been tough and rough and coarse-hearted, they would have dispersed from amongst you. So forgive them and overlook, pardon them and overlook their mistake, and seek the istighfar for them. And then seek their consultation in the affair, and when you decide an affair, then make the tawakkul on Allah, for verily Allah, He loves those who are the mutawakkilin. He said that this ayat is from Surah Ali Imran, and I wanted to come here to remind the brothers and also to remind myself of some of what this ayat contains in the way of benefit, and in the way of lessons, and in the way of the ibrah. He went on to say that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us, all of us, from the people who this ayat is applicable to them. And we ask Allah to make us the du'at of those people who call to this ayat. And we ask Him to bless us for our effort on trying to remain steadfast in the application of this ayat. And we ask Him also to write it all down for us in our scale of good deeds.
من فوائد هذه الآية، أولا تنبيه وامتنان من الله في بيان أن الرحمة نعمة من نعم الله يجعلها الله في قلوب من أحبهم ويحبونه. وأعظم الخلق محبة إلى الله ويحبهم الله هو رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، ولذلك أرسله رحمة للعالمين. وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين، فقول الله تبارك وتعالى وما أرسلناك إلا رحمة للعالمين تدل على أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم رحمة لكل العوالم التي خلقها الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأن الله هو رب العالمين. الحمد لله رب العالمين، فالعوالم كل العوالم خلقها الله، ولذلك أرسل إليها رحمته، أرسل إليها محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم. ولذلك لما قبل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم الحسن وكان عنده أحد الأعراب وهو الأقرع بن حارث، فقال والله إن لي عشرة من الأبناء ما قبلت منهم أحدا. فماذا قال الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أو أملك أن نزع الله الرحمة من قلبك؟ أو أملك أن نزع الله الرحمة من قلبك؟ إذن يا أحبتي، من جعل الله في قلبه الرحمة فهذا دليل محبة الله له، ودليل أنه يحب الله فأكرمه الله سبحانه وتعالى بهذه النعمة العظيمة التي هي من أهم خصائص رسول الإسلام محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم.
After that, Ikhwan the Sheikh, he began to say from the benefits of this ayah that we're dealing with, and there are many. The first one is that it is a tanbih, or Allah is making a point, he's mentioning the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has explained, that the rahmah is a ni'mah from Allah. From what we understand from this ayat is that we understand that the rahmah is a ni'mah from the many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he puts this ni'mah in the heart of those people from the servant who Allah loves them and they love Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahmah is a ni'mah from the ni'mahs of Allah, and he puts it in the heart of those people from the servant who Allah loves them, so he gives them the ni'mah, and they also love Allah Ta'ala. And from the greatest of the creation of Allah as it relates to those who love Allah and Allah loves them is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And because of that love that Allah has for him and what he has for Allah, Allah has sent him as a rahmah to all of the world, as he has mentioned in the Quran. And we have not sent you except as a rahmah to all of the world. He went on to say, Ikhwan, the fact that Allah has sent the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a rahmah to all of the world, this is a proof in and of itself that he is a rahmah to all of the creation that Allah has created. Because he has mentioned in the Quran, like in Surah Al-Fatiha, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that he is the Lord of all the world. So he sent Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a mercy to all the world. And this is manifested in so many examples. For an example, we have the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kissed Al-Hasan. He kissed Al-Hasan. And one of the companions was there, and his name was Aqra ibn Harith. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have 10 sons and I never kissed none of my sons. I never kissed any of them. So the Prophet said to him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, can I help it? Do I own or do I have the ability? Can I help it that the rahmah was taken out of your heart? The Shaykh said, so this point that we're using now, it goes to show that Allah Ta'ala, He puts the rahmah in the heart of those who He chooses to put the rahmah in His heart. And when He puts the rahmah in a person's heart for the creation, if Allah puts rahmah in your heart for the creation, then this is a delil. It's a proof that Allah loves you, and it's a proof that you love Allah Ta'ala. And this rahmah that was with the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is a ni'mah, and it is from the khasa'id. It is from the special characteristics, from the clearest special characteristics of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wa Ala Alihi Wasallam.
وبما أن الرحمة نعمة من الله على الذين يحبهم ويحبونه فلذلك إذا وضعها الله في قلب عبد ظهرت هذه الرحمة على جوارحه ولذلك قول الله تبارك وتعالى فبما رحمة من الله دلت هذه الكلمات القرآنية على أن الرحمة نعمة من الله رحمة من الله فبما رحمة من الله أي أن الرحمة منة من الله يضعها في قلوب عباده فإذا هذه الرحمة خالطت بشاشة القلوب ظهرت على الجوارح وظهرت في الأعمال وظهرت سلوكا يمارس بين الناس لذلك قال بعدها فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم أي ظهرت الرحمة في مظهر اللين لأصحابك في مظهر الشفقة على أتباعك في مظهر التواضع لمن تبعك من المؤمنين كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى واخفض جناحك لمن اتبعك من المؤمنين هذا خطاب الله سبحانه وتعالى للرسول واخفض جناحك لمن اتبعك من المؤمنين
So Ikhwan, the Shaykh, he went on to say, the ayah that we're dealing with as it relates to the rahmah, it's clear that the rahmah is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah puts in the hearts of those people who He loves and they love Him as well. And if Allah ta'ala puts this ni'mah, which is the rahmah, in the heart of any individual, then you're going to see that ni'mah, which is the rahmah, becoming apparent on his body part, his limbs, or his jawarih. We understand that when we look at the ayah in close detail, because Allah said in the ayah, and because of the rahmah that is from Allah. So that shows that the rahmah is a ni'mah and it's from Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it proves that the ni'mah is from Allah. And if Allah puts it in the heart of the servant, then we're going to find that it's going to come out in their limbs, in their actions, and it's going to come out in their saluk, in their behavior, as it relates to how they deal with other people. And that could be observed in the next part of the ayat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لِن تَلَهُمْ As a result, Allah said, and because of the rahmah that is from Allah, you were easy with them. So because of this ni'mah, which is the rahmah that is from Allah, as a result of that being given to the individual, it starts to become apparent in his actions, and the proof of that is the next part of the ayah, you were easy with them. The Shaykh, he went on to say, so this rahmah, which is a ni'mah that Allah gave to those who He loves, and they love Him, we see it in the form of the leniency of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam towards his companions, and we see it also in his humility as it relates to the way he dealt with the people, as it relates to the way he dealt with his atba, or those people who followed him. As Allah mentioned and ordered and commanded him in another ayat of the Quran when He said, "And lower the wings of humility, ya Muhammad, lower the wings of humility to those who follow you from the believers." So we understand if Allah puts the ni'mah, which is rahmah, in the heart of an individual, then after that, the result of this ni'mah, which is rahmah, is that the individual will have that being manifested in his limb.
ولذلك ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه هذه الأخلاق، هذه السلوكيات التي امتاز بها المجتمع المسلم الذي وصفه الله سبحانه وتعالى في محكم تنزيله رحماء بينهم، محمد رسول الله والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. فهذه الرحمة التي كانت بين المؤمنين من مظاهرها أولا التواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر والتواصي بالمرحمة. يقول الله سبحانه وتعالى في سورة العصر: والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق. فهذا التواصي بالحق مظهر من مظاهر الرحمة، وتواصوا بالصبر، والتواصي بالصبر مظهر من مظاهر الرحمة. لذلك قال في سورة البلد: وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة، وتواصوا بالصبر وتواصوا بالمرحمة. إذن التواصي بالحق والتواصي بالصبر أي الثبات على الحق مظهر من مظاهر التواصي بالمرحمة. فأنت تعلم الحق وتثبت على الحق لتبلغ الحق للخلق، لتبلغ الحق للخلق.
After that, Ikhwan, the Sheikh said, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has mentioned in the Quran, in his book, this aspect of the akhlaq and the behavioral pattern of the Muslim, this issue of ar-rahmah. And this is a characteristic that is peculiar and special to the Muslim society. And he mentioned that by describing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and those who were with him. When he said in the Quran, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those who are with him, they are hard against the kuffar, and they are merciful towards one another. So the Muslim community is a community in dealing with each other, there is mercy. The Sheikh went on to say, so this rahmah, it comes as, this ni'mah, which is the rahmah, it brings other aspects and other characteristics that are beneficial, like the issue of being patient upon the haq and being patient upon the sabr, and also being patient upon the rahmah or the tawafi, which we would translate as being given advice and cooperating upon the truth and upon patience and upon mercy. If we look at Surah Al-Asr, Allah Ta'ala said in that surah, by the Asr time, verily mankind is in a state of loss, except those who believe and they do good deeds and they mutually cooperate upon the haq. The Sheikh stopped and he went on to explain. So cooperating upon the haq, it is from what is the manifestation of ar-rahmah, the fact that they are collectively being patient and advising each other to be patient upon the haq. This is from the result of the rahmah that is between them. And then he said in the last part of the ayah, and they mutually cooperate upon the patience as well. Their cooperation upon the patience is also one of the manifestations of the rahmah. And then in Surah Al-Balad, we have a similar ayah where Allah Ta'ala said, and those people who mutually cooperate upon the sabr, again, the sabr is mentioned, and they cooperate upon the rahmah. So the Sheikh said that cooperating upon the haq is clear, and cooperating upon the sabr, the meaning of it is that they are with the thabat upon the haq. They are firmly established upon the haq, and this comes as a result of, again, the rahmah that they have been instructed and commanded to exemplify. So we have to know the truth, and then we have to be established upon the truth, and then we have to call to that truth. So he emphasized it a second time by saying, so you have to know the haq, and you have to have the thabat upon the haq, and then you have to make the tabligh, or you have to tell the people and explain to the people that haq that you are upon.
ومن مظاهر الرحمة التعاون على البر والتقوى. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى ولا تعاونوا على الإثم والعدوان. البر اسم جامع لكل محاب الله، فكل ما يحبه الله يدخل في مسمى البر. والتقوى اسم جامع لكل ما يحض على عمل البر. فذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى في هذه الآية أمرين: ذكر ما يحبه وذكر ما يحض على فعل ما يحبه الله سبحانه وتعالى. فمن كان من أهل هذه الآية متعاونا مع إخوانه على إقامة ما يحبه الله وعلى حظهم على كل الدوافع التي تأمرهم وتحضهم على فعل ما أمره الله، هذا يدل على رحمة في قلبه للخلق، رحمة في قلبه لعباد الله، رحمة في قلبه لمن في الأرض. ولذلك صح في الحديث أن الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن. لأن التخلق بصفة الرحمة هو تطبيق لأمر من التوحيد، توحيد الأسماء والصفات. فمن أسمائه الحسنى الرحمن، ومن صفاته العليا الرحيم. فمن كان في قلبه رحمة لمن في الأرض، إذن هو عرف معنى الرحمن وعرف معنى الرحيم، ولذلك فهو يسعى لأن يتعاون مع إخوانه الذين استجابوا للحق وتعاهدوا على الصبر وانطلقوا بين الناس بالرحمة، كما كان نبيهم المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم كان رحمة للعالمين. فإن هذا تعاون على البر والتقوى وليس تعاونا على الإثم والعدوان.
He went on to say, Ikhwan, from the mazahir or the manifestations of this rahmah that we're talking about, and we mentioned that the rahmah is a ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala, is that when people have this rahmah that Allah gives to them, they are more inclined to cooperate on al-birr wa al-taqwa. If people have this rahmah, which is a ni'mah from Allah and it's been given to them, from the aspects that show the manifestation of that rahmah is their ability and their willingness to cooperate upon al-birr wa taqwa, as Allah has said in the Quran, and cooperate with each other on al-birr and al-taqwa, and do not cooperate with each other on al-ithm wal-udwan. Do not cooperate on what is a sin and what is oppression. The Shaykh went on to give the definition of these two words, al-birr wa taqwa, which we have been commanded to cooperate with each other upon these two. He said, al-birr is the ismu jami', or a comprehensive word, and it includes everything that Allah loves. Al-birr is a comprehensive word, and it is everything that Allah loves. And at-taqwa, which we can translate as fearing Allah, at-taqwa is also a comprehensive word that includes everything that Allah is loved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the actions of
Allah. As-salamu alaykum. This is a reminder, students. Please do not use the gym today. Go to use the cafeteria for recess. Once again, you are not to use the gym. The gym is not available to the Sunday school today.
So he said that taqwa is the comprehensive word that includes everything from the actions that are loved by Allah Ta'ala, from the actions or the amal of al-birr. He said, so Ikhwan, Allah has mentioned these two issues in the same ayah. He has mentioned the issue of al-birr and the issue of al-taqwa. Al-birr is everything that Allah loves, and al-taqwa is all of the actions that are beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, so therefore we understand from this issue that if the Muslim has the rahmah that has been given to him from Allah, it is a proof that Allah loves him and he loves Allah, and he is inclined to be an individual who cooperates with his brother. He cooperates with the people upon those things that are loved by Allah, and he is inclined to deal with people in a way in which this is a manifestation that comes from his rahmah that he's been given. So if he's able to do that, it is the dalil that the mercy has been put in his heart because of the way he deals with the creation. And that's why Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us in an authentic hadith, he said that the rahimun, those people who are merciful, those people on the earth, and they are merciful, ar-Rahman will be merciful to them. The rahimun, the people who are merciful, the merciful one, Allah, will be merciful to them. And that is because when a person deals with the creation in a merciful way, then this is an application and a proof of his understanding of the Tawheed, of an aspect, a very critical aspect of Tawheed, and that is the Tawheed of Al-Asma wa Sifat. He said, how is that? It is because from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he is Ar-Rahman. From the Asma of Allah is that he is Ar-Rahman. And from his Sifat that are exalted is that he subhanahu wa ta'ala is Rahim. He's merciful. So when a person deals with the people in the merciful way, it's a proof and an indication and a manifestation that he understands this concept of Allah being Ar-Rahman and Allah being the one who is Rahim. As a result of that, he deals with the people accordingly. So therefore, all of the people who have this rahmah that was given to them as a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and placed in their heart, they make the ta'afud or the contract between themselves, and they have a willingness and an easiness in dealing with people in this way, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to deal with the people, because he was sent to them as a rahmah to all of the world.
ومن ما يدل على أن التعاون مظهر من مظاهر الرحمة اقتران اسمان أو اقتران اسمين من أسماء الله وصفاته مع بعضهم البعض. نبئ عبادي إني أنا البر الرحيم، فارتبط اسمه البر مع صفته الرحيم، والآية كما سمعتم وتعاونوا على البر والتقوى. فيعلم من هذا إخواني أن التعاون على البر والتقوى مظهر من مظاهر الرحمة التي جعلها الله في قلب العبد.
In addition to that, we're still on the same point that التعاون على البر والتقوى is from the mazahir or the manifestations of ar-Rahma. In addition to what has already been mentioned in Surah Al-Asr and Surah Al-Balad, the Shaykh wants to add this as well. That is, we have in the Quran an ayah in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he said, and inform my servants that I am the one who was al-bar and I am rahim. So Allah ta'ala has put these two words, these two names that he called himself together, Al-Barr and Al-Rahim. The Shaykh went on to say, this is an additional proof that we can support this with the other ayat and cooperate with each other on Al-Barr and Al-Taqwa.
Ayat التي ذكرناها هي قول الله سبحانه وتعالى إني أنا الغفور الرحيم، ذكرنا فيها إخواننا بارك الله فيهم وجزاهم الله خيرا. من مظاهر التوبة، من مظاهر الرحمة أيضا، هو التوادد والتعاطف بين المؤمنين. فكما قال رسولنا صلى الله عليه وسلم: مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم. فالتوادد المودة بين المؤمنين، والعطف عطف الكبير على الصغير، وتعاون بينهم مظهر من مظاهر تراحمهم. مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى. مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم. فالتوادد المودة بين المؤمنين، والعطف عطف الكبير على الصغير، وتعاون بينهم مظهر من مظاهر تراحمهم. مثل المؤمنين في توادهم وتراحمهم وتعاطفهم كمثل الجسد الواحد إذا اشتكى منه عضو تداعى له سائر الجسد بالسهر والحمى.
After that, the sheikh wanted to thank the brother who came up and he said, and he corrected the ayat, and the ayat is, and inform my servant that I am Ghafoor Rahim. So the sheikh thanked the brother for that. And he said also, from the manifestations, ikhwan, of the rahmah and it being apparent in the believers is the fact that they have mutual love for each other and care and concern for each other, as it has been authentically established in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said the example of the believers between themselves, their example in their love for each other and their mercy that they have for one another, and their ta'afuf, or the care and concern that they have for one another, is like the example of the body. If one member or body part hurts or aches, then the rest of the body will suffer from sleeplessness and from fever. The Sheikh went on to explain that the tawad is the muwad, or the love that they have between themselves, and the ta'afuf is the way the older person is gentle towards the one who is younger. He said all of these characteristics that have been mentioned in this ayah, they again show that the rahmah is from the manifestations of making us cooperate with each other.
ومظاهر الرحمة في كتاب الله وفي سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كثيرة. وأفادت الآية، وقد عدنا إلى الآية، وهي قوله تعالى: فبما رحمة من الله لنت لهم ولو كنت فظا غليظ القلب من حولك لانفضوا من حولك فاعف عنهم واستغفر لهم وشاورهم في الأمر. أن الرحمة مكتسبة بالعلم والتربية، فرحمة الرسول انتقلت إلى أصحابه، قد علمهم الرسول الرحمة وقد رأوا فيه الرحمة، وقد عاينوا كيف يمارس التقوى صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأصبح أصحابه رحماء بينهم. إذن هم اكتسبوا صفة الرحمة من رسولهم صلى الله عليه وسلم بتعليمه لهم وبتربيته إياهم. فقال ربنا تبارك وتعالى: محمد رسول الله، والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم. كيف أصبحوا رحماء بينهم؟ لأنهم رأوا رسولهم رحمة، ورأوا رسولهم يمارس الرحمة، ورأوا رسولهم صلى الله عليه وسلم يدعوهم للرحمة، ورأوا رسولهم صلى الله عليه وسلم وسمعوا منه يأمرهم بالرحمة. فصلوات الله وسلامه على من بعثه الله رحمة للعالم.
After that, Ikhwan, the Sheikh, he went on to say also, from the mazahir of the rahmah, from the apparent manifestations of this rahmah that we find in the Kitab of Allah and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he went back and he mentioned the ayat, And as a result of the rahmah from Allah upon you, Ya Muhammad, you were easy towards them. And had you been rough and tough, coarse and harsh, with them, they would have dispersed from around you. So pardon them and ask for their istighfar. The Shaykh said, from the apparent manifestation of this rahmah that we understand from this ayah is that the rahmah is muktasaba, that you acquire this rahmah from getting knowledge about it and a tarbiyah, training. That the rahmah that you're trying to get, this rahmah that Allah is mentioning in the ayah, it comes and it is acquired as a result of knowledge as well as training, the tarbiyah. He said, the rahmah that the Prophet has, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is established in this ayah, Allah gave him the rahmah, and that rahmah went from him and it went to his companions. They learned it from him. How did they learn it from it? They learned it from him because they saw him in his behavior, in the way he dealt with them and other people. They saw with their own eyes how he was being merciful towards the people and the creation. So the natural consequences of that is that they were going to embrace it and was going to become a part of who they were and their character. They learned it with the ta'leem and the tarbiyah. Allah mentioned in the Quran, Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those people who are with him, they are ashidda', they are tough against the kuffar, and they are ruhama, they are merciful amongst themselves. The Shaykh asked the question, how did they become merciful amongst themselves, between themselves? He said they became merciful because they saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being merciful. They saw his dawah to calling people to be merciful. They heard him encouraging them, commanding them, and ordering them to be merciful. They were the subjects and the recipients of his mercy when he dealt with them. So may the peace and blessings and the salutations of Allah be upon the one who was sent as a rahmah to all of the world.
أريد أن أنبه على مسألة، وهي أني عندما ربطت بين البر والرحمة اختلط علي آية في الحجر، في سورة الحجر، مع آية في سورة الطور. والآية التي في سورة الطور كما نبهني الأخ عليها جزاه الله خيرا، نبئ عبادي أني أنا الغفور الرحيم. وخطئي في الآية لا يعني خطئي في الاستدلال بالربط بين البر والرحمة، فقد يخطئ الإنسان من جهة ويصيب في نفس الوقت من جهة أخرى. فالآية التي ربط الله بها بين البر والرحمة هي قوله تعالى في سورة الطور، إنا كنا من قبل ندعوه إنه هو البر الرحيم. فاقترن اسم البر بالرحمة، فهذا يدل على ما قدمت. فجزى الله أخانا خيرا، وأحببت أن أنبه على خطئي ليعلم كل أن كل ابن آدم خطاء وخير الخطائين التوابون، وقد يخطئ الإنسان من جهة ويصيب من جهة أخرى. فأسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يتجاوز عن سهوي وتقصيري.
إخوان الشيخ، before proceeding to the next point inshallah, he said, brother, I want to make a point about an issue, and that is, previously in the discussion I connected the issue of Allah's name Al-Birr, Al-Barr, and Al-Rahim, and then the brother Jazahullah Khairan, he came and he said, no, the ayat is Al-Ghafur, Ghafur, Rahim, not Al-Barr. The Shaykh said, we thank that brother for that. What happened was, some ayats, they became mixed up in my mind, so I made a mistake. But even though I may have made a mistake from one angle, and that is using the ayat that I was using them for, the connection of Allah being Bar and Bar and Rahim, showing the ta'awun al-birr wa taqwa, I made a mistake in the ayat, because the ayat is Ghafur Rahim. Maybe I made a mistake from that angle, but it wasn't a mistake as it relates to the concept that we're dealing with, and the concept is how Allah has put these two issues together to prove a rahmah will cause you to have the ta'awun on al-birr wa taqwa. The two ayat that I mixed up was the ayat from Surah Al-Hajr, and Surah Al-Hajr and the ayah from Surah Al-Tur. In Surah Al-Tur, this is the ayah that I wanted to mention, and that is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in ayah number 28, and verily before this we called him to it, and verily Allah is Al-Barr and he is Ar-Rahim. So here, even though we made a mistake there, here the ayah is establishing the point that we wanted to make. And there's another critical issue that I want to bring to your attention at this time, and that is, this goes to show that everyone makes mistakes. Everyone from the sons of Adam, they make mistakes. As the Prophet said, everyone makes mistakes from the sons of Adam, and the best of those who make mistakes are those who repent. He says, so a person can make a mistake from one angle, and he may get it right from another angle in the same issue, but we all have to be willing to rectify the affair.
أعود مذكرا إخواني بأن الرحمة مكتسبة بالعلم والتربية، فكان الرسول رحمة فعلم أصحابه الرحمة وربهم على الرحمة، ومن أمثلة تعليم الرسول أصحابه الرحمة وتربيتهم على الرحمة أذكر أمرين. الأمر الأول أن أعرابيا جاء إلى مسجد الرسول فبال في المسجد، فلما رأى أصحاب النبي الأعرابي يبول في المسجد هموا به، أي أرادوا أن يضربوه وأرادوا أن يزجروه وأرادوا أن يروعوه. فانظروا، رجل يبول أي في مسجد الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم، لكنه بال جاهلا، بال وهو خالي البال، جرى هذا الفعل منه لا قصدا ولا عمدا ولا اختيارا. فإذا وقع الأمر من الجاهل فواجب الجاهل على العالم أن يعلمه، أن يذكره، أن يجعل خطأه لا ينتشر إلى مفسدة أعظم مما وقع فيه. فهم الصحابة بالرسول، هم الصحابة بالأعرابي، فقال لهم الرسول معلما ومربيا: لا تزرموه، لفظ عربي، لا تزرموه أي لا تقطعوه عن بوله، دعوه ينهي. ثم لما أنهى الأعرابي البول جاء إليه الرسول معلما فقال له: إن المساجد لم تبن لهذا، إنما هي للذكر والصلاة وقراءة القرآن. وانظروا إلى الحديث لتعلموا ارتباطه بالرحمة. لا تزرموه أي لا تقطعوه عن بوله. ثم جاء له معلما: إن هذه المساجد لم تبن لهذا، إنما هي للذكر، لذكر الله، وللصلاة، ولقراءة القرآن. ثم توجه مربيا لأصحابه، قال: أريقوا، أي اسكبوا، أريقوا على بول الأعرابي ذنوبا من ماء، أي وعاء فيه ماء
عليه. فإذا جاء الماء على البول إيش؟ طهره. طيب لماذا أمر الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أصحابه أن يتركوا الأعراب يبول وهي نجاسة في المسجد؟ يقول أهل العلم عليهم رحمة الله أن الأعرابي لو ترك الصحابة يلحقون الأعرابي لفر الأعرابي وانتشر بوله في المسجد كل المسجد، بينما عندما ترك انحصر بوله في مكان واحد في المسجد. لذلك فالقاعدة العامة التي بنيت عليها الشريعة الإسلامية والرسالة المحمدية هي تكثير المصالح وتقليل المفاسد. تكثير المصالح وجلبها وتقليل المفاسد ودفعها. ولذلك قال العلماء جلب درء المفاسد أولى من جلب المصالح. يرى الأعرابي هذا الخلق القويم من الرسول الكريم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، انظروا إلى الرحمة التي بعثت للعالمين محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فيقول الأعرابي بصوته اللهم ارحمني ومحمدا، اللهم ارحمني ومحمدا ولا ترحم معنا أحدا. ماذا يقول الرسول الذي بعث رحمة للعالمين؟ يقول له لقد حجرت واسعا، أي يا عربي ضيقت واسع رحمة الله، فأنا رحمة لك ورحمة لأصحابي ورحمة للناس، فأنا مظهرا من مظاهر الرحمة الإلهية أرسلني. بعثوا منفرين،
so we want to go back, Ikhwan, to the point, and that is the issue of the rahmah being a ni'mah from Allah Ta'ala that is acquired, and is acquired by knowledge, and it is acquired by tarbiyah or training. He said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, he taught his companions about this rahmah. And there are too many examples where we can take from his tarbiyah and his training to them concerning this critical point. I just want to deal with two issues here as examples. The first well-known issue is the issue of the Bedouin. The Bedouin man who came to the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he urinated in the masjid in front of the people. When he came and urinated, the companions radiallahu anhum, they saw what was taking place and they wanted to deal with the man. And the way they wanted to deal with him is they wanted to hit him and they wanted to drag him and they wanted to stop him from doing that issue which was not acceptable. He came and he urinated in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of the people. The Shaykh went on to say, the man who urinated, he did so out of ignorance. He urinated and in his mind was empty, meaning he wasn't cognizant of the ramifications of what he was doing. He didn't do it intentionally, nor did he do it to spite the people. But he did it out of ignorance. He just didn't know. He says, so from what we understand is, any time you see an ignorant person is ignorant about something, he is jahil about a particular issue, whatever the issue is. The one who has knowledge about what he is ignorant of, from this incident, we understand that the one who has knowledge, he has to teach the one who is ignorant by explaining to him and by reminding him, as the Prophet did sallallahu alaihi wasallam, with the ta'leem of the Bedouin and the tazkir of the Bedouin. You teach and you remind. The person is ignorant and you have knowledge. The person is jahil and you are an alim in this issue. You have to take the ignorant one and you expose him to the truth and you remind him. That's your job. That is your responsibility. And never ever be the cause for the one who was ignorant in the mistake that he falls into. Because of the way you deal with it, you cause the mistake to spread even further and to grow and to become even more widespread. This is not what we found the Prophet doing, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The man came to the masjid, he urinated, the companion wanted to deal with that situation in a way that was going to be problematic as well. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that time, he donned the attire of being the mu'allim and the murabbi. He became the teacher and the trainer simultaneously. When the companions got ready to deal with the Prophet, with the man, the Prophet said to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la tuzrimu. He said to them, let him urinate. Leave the man alone and let him urinate. Because this is a strange word, the Shaykh said, this word is an Arabic word that Rasulullah said, and the meaning of it is, leave the man alone and let him finish. He didn't say, don't hit him, don't drag him. He said, let the man finish. Let him urinate. Leave him. So the man, he went ahead and he finished urinating in front of the people in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. After the man finished urinating, Rasulullah came to the man and he said to the man, teaching him. He became the mu'allim and he taught him. He said, verily these masajid, the masjid, they were not built for this, what you're doing right here. But the masjids have been built for the remembrance of Allah and for making the salah and for reading the Quran. The Shaykh said, look at this hadith and look how we can connect the rahmah. Where does the lesson come as it relates to connecting this concept of rahmah to this particular hadith? He said, after Rasulullah finished dealing with that man, he turned to his companion. As a murabbi, rahmah is acquired through knowledge and tarbiyah. So he taught the man, and that's his rahmah, and now he turns to the companions to give them the training, the tarbiyah. He said to his companions, take a bucket of water and throw it on the urine. Take a bucket of water and pour it on the urine. The Shaykh said, why? He said, clearly because now the water is going to purify the najasa that was placed in the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, why did the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam order his companions to allow the man to continue to urinate in the masjid in front of them? Why? He said, the ulama of al-Islam, they taught us a very important point concerning this, and it is an extremely important point that should be understood. They mentioned, may Allah have mercy upon them, and he began to make dua for the ulama of al-Islam. He said, they mentioned the wisdom behind the way Rasulullah dealt with the issue is because had he allowed the companions to deal with the man the way they wanted to deal with him, by grabbing him and hitting him, naturally the man would have tried to escape. He would have run from them, and if he was running for them and that was his condition, he was urinating, the urine would have went over other parts of the masjid, maybe even on the people. But when Rasulullah prevented them from dealing with him, the problem was isolated. It's a problem, but it was isolated and it was minimized in one place. The najasa came in the masjid, but it was only one small part of the masjid as opposed to all over the masjid or upon the people. So from this we get a qa'idah or a principle. From the principles that the religion of al-Islam is predicated upon and built upon is the statement that the scholars say, the takfir of the masalih. Al-Islam has come to make the masalih or the good, to make it a lot. Anything that there is maslaha and there is good in it, Islam wants to increase it, make it a lot. And Islam came with the taqlil of the mafasid, to decrease the problem. The whole religion is built upon this principle, to increase the good whenever possible and to decrease the evil whenever possible. And also a result of this principle is another concept and another principle, and that principle is anytime a mafasid is going to appear, the mafsada, if evil is going to appear, you want to do something good, but in doing good, evil is going to appear, you have to eliminate the potential evil from appearing before you can do that good. The Shaykh said, this is what we learned from the rahmah of the one who was sent to all of the worlds with this rahmah. He said, after that, the Shaykh said that the Bedouin, when he saw how Rasulullah dealt with him, opposed to how the companions were going to deal with him, he made a dua and he said, oh Allah, have mercy upon me and Muhammad, and don't have mercy upon anyone else other than us. He dealt with me nice, they dealt with me wrong, have mercy only upon me and Rasulullah, and don't have mercy upon the other people. The Prophet ﷺ did not leave him on that statement. He said to the Bedouin, verily you have restricted something that is extremely expansive and wide. The rahmah of Allah is wide. I have been sent as a rahmah to all of the world. I'm a rahmah to you, Bedouin. I'm a rahmah to my companions, Bedouin. And I am a proof and a manifestation of rahmah to everyone. So when you make this dua, you have restricted something that is extremely wide, and that is me being a rahmah to all of the world. And that's why Rasulullah told his companions, and he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you people have been sent to make things easy, and you have not been sent to run the people away. You have been sent to make things easy for the people, and you have not been sent to run the people and to make them scatter from amongst you.
ومن فوائد هذه الآية العظيمة المثل الثاني من أمثلة التربية على الرحمة الحديث المتفق على صحته، وهو أن يهود كانوا يأتون النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فكانوا يقولون له السلام عليكم، والسلام بلغتهم أي الموت عليك، يدعون على الرسول بالموت، قاتلهم الله والنعم. فكان الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم يجيبهم على مقدار كلامهم فيقول وعليكم، يجيبهم بكلمة مختصرة وعليكم أي الموت عليكم أنتم. فسمعت مرة ذات مرة عائشة زوج المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأخذتها العاطفة الدينية والحمية الإسلامية، فقالت لهم من وراء حجاب وعليكم يا إخوان القردة والخنازير، وعليكم يا إخوان القردة والخنازير. فيقول الرسول الكريم صلى الله عليه وسلم، وانظروا عمن ينهى عائشة، عمن ينهى؟ عن اليهود، أعداء الرسل، قتلة الأنبياء، أفسد شعوب الأرض وأخبت شعوب الأرض، لكن الرحمة هي العدل، لكن الرحمة هي الإنصاف. ولذلك قال الله سبحانه وتعالى مخاطبا المؤمنين، ولا يجرمنكم شنان قوم ألا تعدلوا، اعدلوا هو أقرب للتقوى. فانظروا إلى العدل المحمدي مع أعدائه، مع خصومه. فيقول لها يا عائشة، ما كان الرفق في شيء إلا زانه، وما ندع الرفق من شيء إلا شانه. فتقول عائشة، وما سمعت يا رسول الله ما قالوا لك؟ فيقول لها مجيبا إياها بنفس كلامها، وما سمعت يا عائشة ما قلت لهم؟ رحمة للعالمين، رحمة لأصحابه، رحمة لأمته، رحمة مع الحيوان، رحمة مع الجمادات، رحمة مع الجمادات. كيف رحمة مع الجمادات؟ تذكرون حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد كان يخطب على الجذع، فلما ترك الجذع جذع النخلة واتخذ المنبر اشتاق الجذع إلى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، فأصبح يبكي ويئن كأنه طفل بحاجة إلى أم رؤوم تحتضنه، بحاجة إلى أم حنون تعطف عليه، بحاجة إلى أم رحيمة تهدهده. فنزل الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم واحتضن الجذعة. جمال، احتضن الرسول الجذعة وأخذ يهدهده كما تهدهد الأم وليدها، فأصبح يسكت شيئا فشيئا، فصلوات الله على من أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين.
آمين. The second example, Ikhwan, that the Sheikh wants to give, actually giving the example of the Bedouin. Two examples from the history of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how this rahmah was taught to the companions, the knowledge and the tarbiyah, the training of it, is the example of the hadith that comes to us and it's been agreed upon to be authentic by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And that is, the Jews, they used to come to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when they would come to him, they would give him the salutation by saying a word in their language which was similar to as-salam, but it was as-salam. And in their language, this word means death. So they used to say to Rasulullah, as-salamu alaykum, death unto you. So the Shaykh said, this is the way the Jews are, and he made a dua that Allah destroys them, qatalahumullah. He went on to say, when they would say this to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the intellect of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had him to respond to them the same way that they said the salutation to him. They would say to him, As-salamu alayka, and he would say to them, Wa alaykum. He would say one word that was similar to the word that they gave to him, and that word was mukhtasar, it was concise. So one day, Aisha radiallahu anha, the wife of Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam, she heard the Jews greet the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with this filthy greeting. When she heard it, she became emotional. But the emotions that she displayed was the afifa that is from the religion. And she also was overtaken with the...